Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today we've just sung one of the great hymns from the new hymnal. Thank you, Richard, for it, for this hymn so clearly proclaimed the truth of the new life that we have through word and sacrament. The text read from Ephesians calls for us to respond with a new life, to live a life that is worthy of our calling and the salvation by which we have been made saints. The letter to the Ephesians can really be divided into two parts. Chapters 1-3 are primarily doctrinal. Under the inspiration of the Spirit, Paul speaks of the redemption that we have through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of God's grace. He clearly teaches justification by grace through faith as he writes, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." In chapter 2, the letter continues telling of the unity of Jews and Gentiles in Christ. As he writes, "But now in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." And so he continues, finally coming to chapter 4, where he begins with a therefore, the second part of the outline. In part one, the Holy Spirit says, "I've made you a saint," and now he says, "Now live a saintly life." So Paul says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Our calling to salvation gives us an opportunity to live a life of love. Dr. Luther wrote of two principles concerning the sacrament of the altar. One, that we have been given Christ's flesh and blood, as he says, to receive forgiveness of sins. That is, that we may be saved, redeemed from death and hell. The second principle is love. It is demonstrated in the first place by the fact that he has left us an example, as he gives himself for us with his body and blood, in order to redeem us from all misery, so too we are to give ourselves with might and main to our neighbor. Whoever knows this and lives accordingly is holy and has not much more to learn. Nor will he find anything more in the whole Bible. So we might ask Dr. Luther, how can we live in love? And with Paul, he'd say, simply walk in a manner worthy of that calling in which you've been called, with all humility and patience. The truth is, this new life is not all about you. It is not all about me. It is about the Church of Jesus Christ that we love and care about. But all too often, we hear of a pastor having a problem in his congregation. My friends in Christ, this should not be. The church is called together to live in unity. But too often it all begins to be about me, about all of the individuals. What's in it for me? That's not a question based in Christian love. In a few months, some of you will go out on vicarage. Others will go out into their first calls. And some dear misdirected child of God is going to disagree with you, with your teaching, with your doctrinal stand, with maybe even the confessions of the Lutheran Church. How you react to that disagreement will have lasting effect on the future of your vocation there, and perhaps even the rest of your career. Remember what Article 7 says in the Augsburg Confession. It is sufficient for the true unity of the Christian church that the gospel be preached in conformity with a pure understanding of it, and that the sacraments be administered in accordance with the divine word. It is not necessary for the true unity of the Christian church that ceremonies instituted by men should be observed uniformly in all places. Some young in the vocation pastors are very impatient to have that perfect congregation. They expect to find a congregation that abides perfectly by all of the confessions, that has a perfectly closed altar, that never violates one rubric of the liturgical manual that you have come to love, that won't want to sing a hymn that you don't like. My young and the vocation friends, Paul tells the Ephesians, he tells Timothy, he tells you, and he tells me and every other pastor, be patient. Have humility. See yourselves as you really are, just like the sheep you are, O shepherds, to be redeemed, restored, and forgiven. So with all humility and gentleness and patience, bear with one another in love. Endure each other. There's much packed into that second verse. Humility, gentleness, patiently bearing, enduring the challenges that you will have. Not collapsing, not lashing out, but patiently teaching. Let the word and the spirit work. Now that's loving them. There is but one holy Christian church. You and your parishioners are members of it, saints together with you, but still with you, sinners, who continue to need the grace of God that is ours in Christ. You and your congregation are called to one hope in Christ, the hope of everlasting life. You have the joy of bringing the truth of the gospel to these troubled souls, the gospel of one Lord who gave his life for you and for the world. One faith, there is one true Christian faith that saves all who believe in Christ in one baptism, where God has made each of us his own son, baptizing them into the baptism of his Son, where he took upon himself our load of sin, being baptized, forgiven, and welcomed into the family of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yes, in that Christian church, we can serve each other patiently. Know this, that sometimes sheep do stink, and sometimes the shepherd will too. But as together we live in the forgiveness that God has for his church, we know that we are his and we will live in his kingdom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.